restores, provides. He said, upon my Zion, what will happen upon my Zion? There shall be what? Freedom. Why? Whatever the spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. You don't come in the presence of God and you are bound, you go bound. No. And he says, the sons of Jacob shall lose their possession. I didn't hear you. What are your possessions in the Lord? Healing, provision, everything that God is paid for is yours. Healing in the children's bread. Number one is healing right there. He healed all thy diseases. He restored thy soul. He filled thy mouth with good things so that what your youth is, it shows financial blessing, physical blessing. That's what happens when you come to church. You don't go to an ocean and be going with a cup. I asked the woman yesterday, I said, if Jesus was to walk in here, what would you do? You know, if we're sitting here and the Lord walks through this door, many of you will go, hey, oh my God, it's Jesus. Hey, he's here. He's what? Right here with you. He said, am I ever present God? He's there. He's right here. By his spirit, the Holy Spirit is right here. Healing, restoring, providing, answering prayer, touching you, opening your eyes, talking to you, communing with you, loving you, doing everything a father does for his children. But we have been trained with this model of looking unto one man. There's no scripture that says look unto one man. The scripture says looking unto who? Jesus. So as you are here, my brothers and sisters, can I give you the good news? Healing is happening. No? You won't even believe it. Yeah, but I'm not saying anything. I say healing is a... Even if you don't want to accept, why don't you join others who want to accept? I say healing is happening. Why? The scripture says, upon Mount Zion, you shall possess your... Isn't healing your possession? Why should you be bound in the presence of God? And the Bible says, wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is a... You can't come here and go home with your symptoms. It's abnormal. Jesus said, I came for those who are sick. If you are sick, you are in the right place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, I say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's healing you right now. The Bible says he went about doing good and healing. Oh, he's here and healing you when? Now. For now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Your healing is right. Oh, I'm coming down. This thing has to work for you. Your healing is when? Right now. Not tomorrow. Don't ever put off the thing because it's already paid for. It's yours. When is your healing? Now. Is it working right now? Yes. Why shouldn't you? Give me one reason you shouldn't be healed. Tell me one. Except you don't expect it. You think there's a special. There's nothing special anymore. It's finished on the cross. It's given to you. It's now the table is prepared before you. It's buffet. Church is also a buffet. The Bible said the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you, Lord. The kingdom of God is like a rich man who threw it a party. So you come and take. Party. Party is right here. In short, you can ask pastors and they led us to buffet before when we were still in Newark. Every day we do couples forum. He and the wife will lead us to one buffet. And then we'll go to that buffet and some of you remember now, we were packing. So that's how they took me away from my wife. I started going for buffet. And I saw that it is sin. I repented and came back to my wife. Hallelujah. Buffet is buffet. The kingdom of God is like a rich man. God is a rich God who throws a party for his children. Brethren, eat as much as you want. It's allowed. Healing is the children's bread is there. Don't tell me any story. I don't want to hear that. That's the devil. telling you can't be healed. Oh, you need to do this. You don't need to do nothing. It's prepared for, my friend. It's not on your righteousness you are healed. Peter said, it's not our righteousness, not our power. Period. It's given to you free. Just take it. It's how graceful God is, how gracious God is. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Don't let the devil stop before you and divine mercy. Mercy say you are guilty, but take. Why? Jesus paid for it. You can't discount the cross. The church is paying lip service to the cross. Paying lip service. After paying lip service, we resort to Judaism. And nothing is happening. And God is grieved for what he paid incredible price for. Nobody's eating. You know how excited God would be that all of us are healed? Because that's what he gave his son to die for. It cost him the life of his son to give us healing, give us righteousness, give us deliverance, freedom, and to bring us under the canopy of blessing of Abraham. I'm telling you here, poverty is not part of your package. God says, I'll provide all your needs, not some of them. How many of you want your children to be poor? You have your children, and your desire for them is to be poor. Then you must be better than God. That's why Jesus became a curse for us. So that the blessings of God will be ours. And let me tell you, church, as you are listening to me, your blessing doesn't depend on your circumstance. You can't tell me, Pastor, I didn't go to school. It doesn't mean nothing. It can't stop you from walking in the blessings of God. Don't tell me, Pastor, I'm an immigrant. Forget it. Obika and the wife. One time I called him. I said, what's happening to your green card? He said, Pastor, I read them and they write me. And I write them and they write me. It's for years. I said, hey, my friend, get into the car. Go there and demand your green card. Where is Obika? Has he backslidden? What is it? Is this story true or not? I said, rent a car. I pay for it. Faith is action. My friend, go there, get your green card. Stop all this. Write them the right. Take your wife out. Go there. Get it. Get it. Insist on it. The door will open. Go and bust it open. I said, go. God will go before you. And he went. Didn't take 2 weeks. His green card came. And I called the wife. I said, you are welcome. He said, I don't have paper. I said, stop that. Your blessing doesn't depend on all of it. Say, go get a job. God says, I'll open a door while there's no door. Don't give God limit and say, Lord, since I don't have paper, you can't walk. It's not true. If the divine favor, we do incredible things. We take you where you never could have been in your life. We limit God and pay lip service. But of course, she went and got a job. Finally, her paper also came. They're here and I ask them. So what I came to tell you is that arise and shine. My sermon is there. I haven't even touched it. But let's flow with the Spirit of God. Arise and what? Shine. For the light has come. Stop expecting small things. The Bible says open your mouth wide. God didn't say open your mouth small. He said open it what? Wide. And God says I will fill it with good things you will say. It's not boasting. It's not pride. It's a privilege that God gave us in Christ Jesus. And I want to declare to you that you are blessed. 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 Emeka, you are blessed. 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 I say you are blessed. In Jesus' name. Yeah, that's what he paid for. All that agony on the cross is for us to have this thing. We can't be paying lip service to the cross and then we'll turn around and introduce Judaism and be hoping one day, remember me, remember me, oh, remember me, oh, Lord, remember, remember. God, sit down, my friend. He had in mind when he went to the cross. He had you what? In mind. He went there for you. He had in mind. He was thinking about you. It was you he was thinking about. He didn't go there for dogs. He went there for you. So that you come from shame to glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to expect increase. Only people can see. We've been so, we've been this thing so long. We don't Amen. Even expect a lot. Expect increase. Amen. This church will increase. Amen. I'm not telling you what will happen. You will see it now. This church will increase. Amen. You will increase. Amen. You will increase. Amen. You will increase. Amen. It doesn't depend on what you have now. If it depends on what you have now, Joseph won't have it. He had nothing. He wasn't there. The blessing is on you. Amen. Not on paper. No, it's you. Amen. It's you that is blessed. It's you that is blessed. Amen. It's you that is blessed. Amen. If you walk around, this is the blessed man walking around. So no matter where you put me, the blessing will still walk. Because if God opens a door, he has opened the door of blessing on us. I say, Pastor, my son doesn't pass the exams. My faith doesn't need all of that. Stop all of that. One time I was coming back from a conference. The Lord said to me, say, why do people think you must be a doctor to enjoy my blessing? I said, why did I say so? He said, was Abraham a doctor? Not your circumstance, my friend. It's you that is blessed, not your circumstance. Youth, you are the one that is what? Blessed. It's you, not your circumstance, my friend. You know, let me come to even Steve Jobs wasn't even a Christian, but he ran a company that's one of the biggest in the world. If you talk of his circumstance, he wouldn't be there. In fact, that company fired him, rehired him. If a heathen can do that, I expect all of you to begin to dream big. You must expand your dream. Stop all this shimongo minute shwashwa dream that is this small. Anything small here I can use. Tiny mwekbonko dream. You call it humility. How does anybody see the glory of God in mwekbonko dream? Shimongo, that is this type of dream. How big is your God? God is looking for who he will use to demonstrate his power. He said the eyes of the Lord is going to and fro. Looking for whose heart is right to who believes him. Who believes him? Because it is with faith to please God. He said so that I will show my what? Power, what I can do. And God doesn't do small things. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you that he's healing you right now. Amen. There is no sickness that can survive the power of God. No, not even death. Anywhere Jesus went, if anywhere he went and they died, they won't get up. Anywhere he stepped in, Jesus never attended funerals to comfort them. He went to raise the dead. Not one single did he go there and sit there and say, well, brothers and sisters, I'm Jesus the Lord, but I came to comfort you. For your bereavement, the Lord will help you after I'm gone. No. Say I'm resurrection. Anywhere I go, get up. Get up from here. Anywhere he went. In fact, he met one on the road. He said, bring him. Since our path crossed, I'm going, you are coming. Bring this one here to all. And he was the only son of but open the casket, open the thing. He said, he touched him. He said, my friend, get up. Wherever I am, death doesn't work. Death doesn't work. Process of death stops because life comes. Jesus is here. And he's healing you. I say he's healing you. I say he's healing you. Come on, I say he's healing you. Can we rise up and worship him for healing? Lift up your hands and receive your healing. How many of you were healed? I was. I don't know about you. I was. What are you waiting to know whether you are healed? Feeling. So, we've been talking and encouraging people to develop intimacy with the Spirit of God. To develop intimacy by communing with the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus was with his disciples, and they were talking with him. They were sharing with him. They were asking him questions.
He was teaching them to pray. There's something the Holy Spirit is doing for you. So you can commune with him. He teaches you to pray. He helps you to pray. He teaches you about life, guides you according to the will of God, and empowers you. That's what it is. You and I can't live this life alone. For without him, we can do nothing. So God sent his Spirit here. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, is here with us, and it will be for us forever. And you know, God's way of doing things is that God will reveal to you what he's doing for you so that you see it. Now, let me ask you a question. If you are married and your wife cooks for you and you are not home, if you come, will he tell you? Will he tell you, I cook something and I kept it for you? You are not married, don't answer it. If you are married, your wife cooks for you and you come back, will your wife tell you that I cook for you? That there is food? Will he tell you? Why will he tell you? Because if she doesn't tell you, you won't know and you'll be hungry. But if you come and say, honey, you know, I made good soup for you. This is why it is. You want it now. Why is she telling you? Because telling you is important so you know what is prepared for you. God does the same. There is no way you can know what God has prepared for you unless he shows you. Because this is a spiritual reality. You don't see it with your physical eyes. And right from Old Testament, that has been God's method of dealing with his children. He will show them what he has done. Because he's a spirit. He's a spirit. Before I came, I said, Lord, you need to show me what you are doing here. He said, I'll show you. He said, I'll show you. I came, he said, I'm healing people. I said, if you don't show me, I can't tell them. I can't declare it. I'll just be useless here. You have to show me what you're doing. He said, tell them I'm healing them. And he told me that. He said, if you don't know what I'm doing, it won't be very useful. And we can't walk in unity. So God will show you what he's doing, what he has done for you. So you go and possess it, like they tell you, oh, we cooked this for you. Then you go and take it and eat. And then, so that you and the Spirit of God can walk in fellowship, in unity, concerning God's purposes for your life. If you look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? If I hide it, how will he know? Seeing, verse 18, that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty what? Nation of the earth. I'm sorry. Become a great and mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth shall be what? Blessed with it. So if God doesn't show him what he's doing, Abraham cannot attain this thing. Because he doesn't know. He has no idea. And that people say, what you don't know is greater than you. So God says, am I going to hide this? Seeing that he's going to be this, I need to tell him. I need to let him know. So he came to Abraham. He said, Abraham, in blessing I have what? Blessed. So you know that what happened. So you can believe it and accept it. That has been his way. That has been God's way. And we do that even as human beings. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. But he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So they declared to the people. So he showed the people. So he showed the people. The world calls it setting goals. We don't do stuff like that. We declare what he shows us about Allah. Our goal, it doesn't come from human wisdom. Our goal comes from the one the Holy Spirit reveals to you. John 5:20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him what? Everything he's doing. God shows you everything he's doing. Why? In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will all be truly astonished. Say, you will see. The father will show the son and show him how to do this. Show him how to do this. So the son will walk in the perfect will of the father. That's exactly what God does. He will show you. He will reveal it to you. If God wants you to be a pastor, he will let you know. Because there's no way you will know now unless he tells you. If God wants you to be a pastor's wife, I don't want to go there. My lunch is at stake. You people are laughing. Where you go and eat your food. And then when I go, they say the soup, the top one that is only oil. That's what they put for me. And remind me about what I preach in church. What I'm trying to say is that God will let you know because you don't know. You don't know. He has to show you. He has to tell you. Because it's a spirit. It's walking in the realm of the spirit. He has to tell you. This is what I've done. This is what I've done. This is how you take it. This is how you possess it. Show the son. They love the son. He will show him and show the son how to do. And Jesus said, I do nothing except what my father tells me. Tells me. And that's same with us. You know, when, do you remember Joseph? Before God used him, God showed him in a dream what God was planning for him, what God was using to do. He had a dream and he went blabbing, told his brothers, and the brothers got crazy. They told his father, the father finished him. But do you know that later on in his life, when things were happening, that dream was alive in him. He understood very well the course of his life. And that then stabilized him. He never murmured complaint. He knew, that's what God showed me. This is taking me somewhere. So when a woman, beautiful woman came, he said, I can't sin against God. I have a program. Me and God were going somewhere. And when the brother showed up, he said to them, don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. He didn't do anything. Didn't do anything. God brought me here. He knew what God showed him. And he knew God was doing it. He knew. He said, God brought me here. He didn't bring me here. He said, stop crying. Because I had a dream. He showed me his plans for my life. And I know he's faithful. He will finish it. That's what somebody said. He that started these good works in you will what? Finish it. Amen. Look at Genesis 45, 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. They were afraid, for they were troubled at his presence. Can you imagine? Somebody you sold. Now he's a king. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me now. Don't do this. Come near to me. I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your what? Brother, whom you sold into them. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He knew what God was doing all this. Why? Prison or not, he was sure. You're not telling him anything. Say, God sent me ahead of you, so there's no need to cry and do all this emotion. I knew where we're going. That's why you need to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. Because he will show you where God is taking. Things can be rough. Don't look normal. But he can witness in your spirit. Be still. Be what? And people don't know what you are hearing. They don't know anything. They'll be yapping and talking. Look, stop listening to people. Don't bother them. Don't hang out with people who don't know God. I'm not kidding. Look, it's not because it will affect you. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. People who don't have faith, don't understand how to walk with God, if you follow them, they think kill your faith. Kill your faith straight away. You should hang out with people who have like precious faith minded. So that iron will separate. Many Christians are running on low because they hang out with people who are totally ignorant of the truth. So you should hang out with the Holy Spirit. Develop intimacy with him. He will show you the great works that God is doing in your life. He will reveal to you great and mighty things that doesn't come from human mind. He won't hide it because he wants you to be there. He wants you to experience it now. He'll guide you in life. But if you don't commune with him, you don't have intimacy with him, how in the world is he going to show you where you are far away from? You don't even recognize him. You come to church, you go. We tell you, develop intimacy with him, you just be doing your own. You'll be frustrated. And then he'll come and show you. The awesome thing is that he will tell you and teach you about the greatest work done for you, which was consummated in Christ on the cross. He will reveal it to you because he wants you to enjoy it. It's your portion. He will tell you that you've been set free. He will tell you you've been healed. He will speak according to the scripture. He will tell you, he will reveal, he keep talking to you through pastors, through people. He'll be talking to you. You'll be set free. Listen, you're under grace. You're not under law. This is the dispensation now. He will tell you how he's walking. Walk by faith. The just can walk by faith. But you sit down there and be looking, huh? He will tell you. Remember Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 28 what? 29 what? If people can't see what God is doing, what will happen? They stumble all over themselves. That's why a lot of people are going around the circle around the circle. They don't know what God is doing in their life. And the devil zeroes in because he knows they're confused. You know, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most. You know what spiritual blindness means? It's not knowing what God is. That's why the Pharisees had problem, because they didn't know the plan of God. They didn't know the purpose of God. Jesus said, "You don't even know the day of your visitation." Do you know it's so bad in the body of Christ that people don't know when the Holy Spirit has stopped working. They don't know. They don't even know whether there is Holy Spirit with them. It's a very dire situation. Because we're trying to live without him. And we resort to religion, resort to rituals. Doing all these rituals. Rituals has no place with God. Absolutely no place. The only thing that matters is Christ that crucified and faith in him. That's why people fall for call the name of Jesus 4 times this way, turn to this one 4 times, turn this one 5 times, 10 times. I was sharing with pastors. So we came from a background of ritualism. All of us. African culture is steeped in rituals. Steeped in rituals. And so when the devil sells rituals to you, you fall for it very easily. Our culture is full of rituals. And then we came from some churches that is steeped in ritualism. They use smoke, do like this 4 times, and they sprinkle water on you, and then go this direction, and then come this direction, and then turn around around you. And then now you are in Christ, you drag that thing into Christianity, looking for rituals again. If you don't know what God is doing, the devil will eat you like lunch. It's called spiritual blindness. Jesus told the Jews, he said, the great light is here, you don't see it. You don't know. He said, the day of your visitation, you don't recognize. He said, that's why you're perishing. You don't know anything at all. And the Bible said, the Spirit of God was given to us to reveal to us those things that are freely given to us. Can I make a statement here? Church, look up here. Please, for God's sake, Christianity is not Judaism. Christianity is not religion. God didn't set up religion. They set up religion so people can gather on a Sunday morning and go. God set up a kingdom. Jesus spoke mostly about the kingdom of God. He set up. He said, he brought his kingdom here on earth. He said, the kingdom of God is where? It's right here now. And it's in you. Why? He said, because I've delivered you from the kingdom of darkness into my own kingdom. And I've given you the keys of the kingdom to operate it. It's about kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. So I've given you the keys of the kingdom. So you operate it. This is a kingdom of power. Signature of God is power. It's a kingdom of righteousness. Righteousness. Joy. What again? Peace. What again? That's the kingdom. And then Paul said the kingdom of God is not just a word but empower us and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're trying to do today. Demonstrating of the Holy Spirit. God brought us into his kingdom. God brought us into his family. It's not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. He brought us into his family where he's now our father. And we can call him Abba Father. And with that comes all the privileges of the family. We are now heirs of God. Joins us with Jesus. We have access to all the blessings of the family. And can I tell you something, sir? There is no child of God who is bound or cursed. A child of God is not under a... It's an abomination. Not true. That's why God changed our nature. So we have his nature so we can be in his family. You don't have fellowship with dogs. Try it one day. And say, I'm going to have fellowship. I told you a story when we went to Seattle. I saw a school for dogs. It's a kindergarten for dogs. I took time to watch them. I said, these people will live in their country. There is nothing they won't do. All those dogs have Jimmy. This one is Michael. This one is a... In fact, one has your name. They dress them up, put glasses on Jimmy. Shimwangwangwe ponku Jimmy. Like that. I said, you are watching this. God of peace. They were wasting time on this. And then Jimmy, they were climbing. They made things for them to climb. And they'll come down. They fall over each other. And they will. No man, no human being will go there and join them and be falling and be doing that. You are crazy if you do that. Because you don't have their nature. No matter how you call Jimmy and give him special food, a dog is a dog. They should know it. Forget about this thing. The problem is because there's no more family. There's no more family. There's great loneliness. So they're finding companionship with a dog and cat and pig. Pig! If one has a snake, he came to an animal shelter and they say, oh, isn't he beautiful? He's so beautiful. What's her name? I said, ha, what's her name? Oh, I see that. What's her name? Snake. All that is trying to solve the problem of loneliness, period. But you know we live in community. Man, let's be proud of what God gave us. It's far better. Our people are emotionally more stable. We live in communities. We share with our brothers. We share with our sisters. Your grandma is there. Grandpa is there. Your uncle is there. I mean, they will come visit. They will call you. Get involved. Talk it over. You eat together. You ask, how are you? How about this? How about that? And then life becomes easier when you, everybody is bunu bunu. How do you? Huh? When you come together, two are better. We don't have this issue of loneliness. Because your brother will come calling without telling you. He said, Papa, hey, who is there? Open the door. It's my old brother. It's you coming. Say, do you have, give me food. It's our culture. It's rich. It's wonderful. Teach your children these things. I know they shouldn't have accent, but don't let them sell what is important. Accent is not the only thing you need to succeed on. You need more than those American accents to succeed. Look at the streets of America. Talk to yourselves. Are you not living here? Are you not seeing it? Are you not reading? Are you not hearing the news? Most of which they won't tell you anymore. In Colorado, they're doing a law now. Pornography is not a public health issue. They're saying how it's ruining their youth, ruining children, ruining marriages, making people they can't marry anymore. Because they align themselves on pornography as a means of satisfying themselves. They were enumerating what pornography has done to people. You see, that they are going to pass a law making it public health issue. They say children are into it, all of them. In school, they show them porno, right? You taught them. They show them, say, so calm them down. They put pornography. I keep telling you people, I said, look, if you're not serious with your Christianity, they will eat your lunch, eat your breakfast, eat everything. The devil is using the world in these last days in a way it has never been. The things that were abomination before are now mainstream. Mainstream. And they are targeting children. Viciously, seriously, through internet, through everything. Targeting children. They know this is tomorrow. They are targeting children with everything they can. Somebody said that America doesn't have enough Christians to stop them. He boasted. So there are not enough Christians in America to stop us. That's why you should be serious. You must bring your children to church. Thank God for our children's church. They have incredible... All this, look, family forum, this is supposed to strengthen your marriage because we're under assault. You can't take these things for granted. Don't you see divorce everywhere, including how many pastors in America are not divorced? 80% of American pastors are in third marriage, fourth marriage. Go and find out for yourself. These programs are so stressful. So you have to make time because it pays great dividends. Look, if you don't warm your soup, it will go sour. Family forum is to warm your soup. Come and sit down. We just did the Valentine, right? I gave my wife, that flower is dying though. The one I gave you. Hey. I bought this rose. The wife and the Paul Boboru, they made me to come kneel down and give it to her. Honey, I really meant it. So I married her again. The flower is dead. It reminds you of something. There's something it does involuntarily. You don't even know, but it's re-kicking something. It's re-kicking something because we are under us. Many Christian families are not happy. Case closed. This is reality. We're not happy. Let me go back to my son. Oh, Lord. I didn't want to go there. So, we are called into the kingdom of God. In that kingdom, as it is in heaven, so is there sickness in heaven? In the kingdom, there's no sickness. That's why Jesus took away your infirmities, took away your sicknesses, took everything away, and told us how to do it. My righteous one must walk by his faith. He shows you this thing so you believe it, accept it, and not walk by sight. Jesus said he showed me what he does and tells me how to do this work. That's why you need intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He will tell you, he will remind you constantly. We need constantly to be reminded because we are too busy. I said it on Thursday, forgetful hearer and an ignorant person, they are dissenting and tempest. That's no difference. And then the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of... So you have to fellowship with him. He will constantly remind you. Jesus said when he comes, he will remind you of these things. I need reminding, and you need reminding. Amen? Church, I said amen. Amen. We forget, and then we zoom out doing things in our own religious way, thinking I need to pray some more, need to fast some more. You can do that if you wish to. But I know that Jesus said, my yoke is not what? Heavy. You say it's not heavy. By the way, you are really doing nothing. It's God that does everything. From beginning to the end. So when you carry on this load, thinking you want to wake him up, he's sleeping, but let me do some more. It works for you, enjoy yourself. I think at that point, you should go back and say, Lord, what am I missing? This thing. This thing should work. I'm in a covenant with you. Lord, show me where I disconnected. Because if I get it right, the thing works. And so with all these things that God did on the cross, that he's showing us, it's designed for our glory. It's really designed for glory. And then the scripture says, these words, we must hide it in our heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words that I'm revealing to you. Incline thy ears unto my sayings that reveals the cross to you, that teaches you the work of grace, that teaches you that you are no more a slave, 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 not even to sin. You are no more a slave. If the Son shall set you free, he will remind you, incline your ears to hear them. You can't hear it enough. The devil will say, is it every day? This, yes, that's one thing I must know. That truth. If I don't know it, I can't be free. So the devil tries to tell you, you've listened enough. No, no, no. You haven't listened enough. You listen to it all. Read what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, this is the gospel that I received. Unless you have believed in vain, focus on this thing. This is it. He said, this is what saves you. So he says, attend, incline thy ears unto my saying, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. Why? For they are life unto them that find it. Not everybody finds it. Because not everybody will fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, who is our guide. Not everybody. And health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life. So whatever God is revealing to us by the Spirit, we must hold as dear. It must be alive in our heart. There must be great treasure to be treasured and to be protected. It is not something common. God said, don't call what I do common. What the scripture is revealing to you in Christ Jesus is not a common thing. It's something, it's divine, with the ultimate wisdom. You hold it as there. He said, protect it. Keep it in your heart. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Keep it in your eyes. Because out of sight is, keep going there. This is your life. It produced life for you. This is your healing. It's right there. Keep going there. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. He will remind you, always tell you. But it's your job to treasure it. It's your job to treasure it. It's your job to know that this is treasure. Paul called it treasure in earthen vessel, this revelation. It was so precious to him. He said, the knowledge of Jesus, nothing compares with it. And not just that he's telling you what God has done. He will reveal who Jesus is to you. Because it's in knowing Christ you will find the work of Christ. In knowing Christ you find the work of Christ. And so, all these things, when it's in our heart, and that's one way we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, when we keep it in our heart, then we think alike with him. He communicates with us through our heart. We think alike with him. For two cannot walk together. So we keep it in our heart. We walk together with him. If we think differently, we can't be in fellowship with him. Then the second way is that it has to be in our mouth. It has to be where? In our mouth. Romans 10:10. With your whole being, you embrace. Let me read message. Message, Romans 10:10. Let's read it together. With your whole being, you embrace God, certain things right, and then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Scripture reassures us, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret. He said, with your whole being, you embrace it. Then you say it, yeah, I'm free. God has set things right. I'm healed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He said, you say so. He said, anybody who does this one will never regret it. It should come out of your mouth. You say, I'm not going to say so. Live your life now. Is it not your life? The Bible said the Spirit of God will show you what is done and tell you how to deploy it. Say it. Say it. Isaiah 59, 21. Isaiah 59, 21. As for me, this is my what? Covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and what again? My words which I have put where? In thy mouth, shall not depart out of what? Thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, said the Lord, from henceforth, for how long? It says, if it's so important you teach your children to say it. You need the word, you need the spirit of God. These two things. The word, the spirit. The word, the Holy Spirit. What do you need? And they say it must be in your mouth and you have to teach. Let me tell you why Christians are not experiencing these things. Because they don't care to learn how to do it. He said, it's so important that it's not just you. Teach it to your children. Teach it to your grandchildren. Teach it to your great-grandchildren. That this is the way my covenant manifests. This is the way it works. You have to say it. Say, why should I say it? Because it's word of faith. Because without faith, you will see it. The glory of God is revealed only to those who believe. Jesus said to Martha and Mary, did I not tell you if you will only what? Believe. Then you will see, saying it is an act of faith. For out of the abundance of your heart, must speak. It's something like love. Let me tell you something, brethren. I told the young adults, I said, love doesn't need introduction. If you love somebody, you will know it. If you love me, it hasn't come out here. I don't want, you don't love, don't tell me that, my friend. Love will talk because you want to talk and say, honey, so if you are not married, if I hear it from you, you're going to tell me who taught you that. You're going to be saying sweet, sweet, wonderful things. Awesome. When I went to marry my wife, I wrote her a letter every day. Filled it with sweet, sweet, sweet things. Mailed it from Kaduna. Every morning I go to Hall of Cards, buy card, fill it, and post it. Love talks. Love what? Talks. Faith talks. Love talks. Faith talks. Faith talks. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We are not keeping this quiet. I love this message, Bible. We are not keeping this what? Quiet. Not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We say we what we believe. The psalmist said, I believe it, and so I say it. If you believe it, then you will say it. If you don't say it, you don't believe it. And the Spirit of God has nothing to work on because you don't believe what he's saying. Nothing. Doubt will stop God anytime. Nothing to work on until you say it, until you show that I believe it. Then the arm of the Lord will be revealed. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. And so I was telling the women yesterday, I said, you frame your word with your mouth. Brethren, let me tell you the truth. The world you live in now is what you framed. You are the carpenter that built it. Don't bother anybody else. The Bible says we eat the fruit of what we say. You frame your word with your word. Frame your word. That's why he said, if you believe God in this way, you would never disappoint. The way you say, he has set me free. He has healed me. He has delivered. You are framing that word into reality. You are framing it. Words are spirit. You are framing it. It's the Spirit of God. You are giving him block to walk with. The Bible said that God built all things with the word of his power. You are giving him block. Lord, you healed me. Block. Lord, you healed me, block. Lord, you healed me, block. Tomorrow, Lord, you healed me, block. Lord, you healed me, more, block.
He said, I don't see. Keep giving the block. When you start building a house, do you finish it one day? Keep supplying the block. He built all things with the word of his power. May it come out of your mouth. That's why you are his oracle. Lord, you healed me. Yeah. The pain is there. I'm giving more block. I am healed. I'm set free. The Bible said, you must be steady in the confession of your faith till the end, until the building is built and you wake up one morning. No more. We stop somewhere. Yeah, I said it 2 days, it didn't work. You supply 2 days block. Keep supplying now. Because it's building. Oh, come on. Was Rome built in a day? You keep supplying. Lord, I bring this block by the stripes of Jesus. In the afternoon, I bring more block by the stripes of Jesus. Yeah. In the evening, I bring more block by the stripes of Jesus. Yeah. You keep bringing the block. Lord, I thank you. You delivered me from poverty. I am not under a curse. I am blessed. You bring block. Bam. You are building that word of blessing. Bring block. Bam. And the Spirit of God says, give it to me. Give it to me. He will put mortar. Say, give me more. Give me more. Bam. Come on. Give me more. Yeah, give me more. Bam. And the devil said, he has found out that he that endured to the end, he is no more even looking at me. Tap your neighbor and say, keep giving the block. Oh, he didn't hear you. Come on. Keep supplying it. Keep supplying it. Keep supplying it. Until the end. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's how to build it. Your child is doing this. Your husband is doing that. Stop bothering them. They don't know what they are doing. Stop building. Holy Spirit, I'm going to show me what you are doing. You are restoring them. Yeah. Oh, thank you. You are restoring them. Lord, show me what you are doing in my son. You know I created them beautiful. I created them perfect. Thank you, Lord. I've had it. That's what you told me. Lord, thank you. He's perfect. He's beautiful. He's perfect. And the devil will go and do worse things if I not listen to you. You are not building. This is the Holy Spirit. This is another block. That child is perfect. That child is wonderful. That child is perfect. That child is wonderful. The Spirit of God, give me more block. Keep giving me. It's perfect. He's building. He's building. He's building. He's building. He's building. Then he's building. He's roofing. Doing everything. Painting. 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 Wonderful. One day the child will turn and say, Daddy, I'm sorry for everything. Until the end. We don't stop. If you understand me, shout hallelujah. Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a what? A great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our what? Hold it fast. Keep saying so. Let the redeemed of the Lord, keep saying it. Keep bringing the block. He said, hold fast. Jesus is the Bible calls Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. He's the apostle and high priest of that your confession. He presides over it as your high priest. That's what it is. He presides. He's the presiding high priest over the word of God. He guarantees it. Am I shooting over your head? Look at Hebrews 3 verse 1. King James, wherefore, holy brethren, shout hallelujah, is talking to you. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of what? Consider, what do we consider? The apostle and high priest of our profession. Who is who? Christ Jesus. That's your profession of faith, that confession you're making. Jesus is the high priest over it. He takes it as a high priest takes something from you and works for you with it. He's the apostle of it. He's the high priest over it. He guarantees it and he works. Every high priest serves between God and man. You bring that confession, he makes it happen. He guarantees it. He signed it with his blood. He said, this is true. But the Bible says, keep it steady. Keep supplying. The Spirit of God is giving you the block, the word. Carry. High priest. Yeah. Takes it. Bah. Takes it. Bah. Takes it. Bah. Jesus said, my Father walketh even now. And I keep walking. So it's a new day. Only three people said amen. It's a what? You must not stop supplying that block until the end. It is through faith and patience that you obtain this thing. Patience because they are building the thing, healing you. Every day you come to church, you dance. Lord, you are healing me. You are restoring me. I'm so excited. This is my block. He healed me by the stripes of Jesus. I'm still supplying my block. Still supplying my block. Sister, do you know something? When the building is about to finish, the devil gets crazy. He loses his mind. That's when you know this thing is about to finish. When the things get really, yeah, then the Bible said, then rejoice your salvation right there. That's when to dance the most. Say, Lord, I give you praise. I got this man is crazy now. The thing is, whoa, 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 Lord, we're almost there. I bring block. I like to bring my block morning, afternoon, night. And other times, I can carry many blocks there, as many as I can keep. Even over my grandchildren. My grandchildren, my beautiful grandchildren, all block. All my kids, block. Yeah, my children shall be taught of God. They shall be taught of God. The blood of Jesus covers them. Call them by name. Call my daughter by name. Call my sons by name. Call my wife by name. I keep saying so. I keep saying so. I keep saying so. Satan, when you see this blood, you will pass over my children, pass over my daughter, pass over my sons, pass over my family. I keep saying so. I'm not tired. I block. Block. Tomorrow, more block. Another day, more block. And if it makes more noise, I bring 10 at a go. I want you to rise up.